This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.
Morning. It's the KABU News for Monday, October 9th, 2006. A whole hour of news in just 30 minutes. It's membership drive, and we'll tell you more about that later during the broadcast. I'm Del Walker.
And I'm Jake Wallner. A Virginia-based anti-tax group has overwhelmed state agencies with requests for information on communications concerning ballot measures. In Colorado, Native Americans gathered to protest a Columbus Day parade.
And North Korea has successfully tested a nuclear device. Portland area weather, partly cloudy with patchy fog early this morning. Sunny later. Highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s. Tonight, clear. Breezy in the local Portland area. Lows in the upper 30s to low 40s. Hundreds of cities, school districts, and state agencies in Oregon are being asked to turn over communications regarding measures on term limits, property rights, or spending limits. Municipalities say fulfilling the requests could take months and cost thousands of dollars. The request comes from a Virginia-based group, Citizens in Charge, which is mounting what its website calls a study of public resource abuse under the name Citizen FOIA for Freedom of Information Act. The right-wing anti-tax group is aiming its campaign at Oregon and other states where groups backed by Howard Rich, the leader of Americans for Limited Government and U.S. Term Limits, pushed spending limits or property rights measures this year. Oregon State, city, and school district officials said the mass mail requests would do exactly what Citizens in Charge says it is trying to prevent, eat up public resources. Jacob said he didn't think the costs would be too onerous and that Citizens in Charge would pay for the records and staff time as needed. He declined to say where the group's money comes from, but said the FOIA project would cost more than $1 million, adding, "We have not raised that much money yet."
During his senior year at Philomath High School, 17-year-old Colby Davidson's science project concerned the destruction of the concrete dam blocking Newton Creek. His work showed that there was still a thriving native fish population in the creek, and he helped lead the decision to remove the dam. Now a senior, Davidson said he hopes the dam's removal will enable fish to migrate further upstream and possibly even spawn in the creek, which runs through an old mill site on the east end of Philomath. Jeff Mitchell, a science teacher at Philomath High School, said ecology and forestry classes at the high school will work together to improve the stream bank and monitor water and wildlife in the area. Community members are also pitching in. The Marys River Watershed Council is managing the project and wrote grant proposals. A National Fish and Wildlife Foundation grant of $20,000 will pay for equipment such as the backhoe and education programs at the site. This from the Salem Statesman Journal.
30 Eastern Oregon farmers are joining in an effort to prevent farmland from being turned into boutique wineries. Robert Klein, president of the New Friends of Umatilla County, said he and other farmers decided to act after Washington State winery executives announced plans to develop nearly 1,700 acres of former wheat land near Milton Freewater, Oregon. The State Land Conservation and Development Commission recently approved the application from winery executive Norm McKibben to reduce the acreage's minimum lot size requirement to 40 acres, down from 160 acres in surrounding lots. Klein said the group has not decided whether to appeal the decision, but group members thought their opposition would be more effective if they spoke in one voice. Klein said the group believes that breaking farmland into smaller parcels increases the likelihood that land one day will be taken out of production and be developed or abandoned. Friends of Umatilla County Group plans to apply for nonprofit status soon. Jake?
Seattle boat owner Daniel Pope is offering a $1,000 reward for information leading to the positive identification of the right-wing trespassing thief who climbed onto my boat and stole my flag. Someone cut down and stole his 2-foot by 3-foot flag, white with a blue stripe. It had two words, impeach Bush. When Pope sailed to Vancouver Island this summer, the flag, which he had hand-sewn, was a seafaring hit. Sailboaters, he said, waved encouragement. Pope is a Seattle lawyer with a passion for social justice. He defended the owner of a Middle Eastern deli in the days of rampant ignorance and bigoting triggered by 9/11. Someone went up to Salas Delicatessen at 24th Avenue and Northwest and Northwest 80th Street and scrawled a misspelled slur on a dumpster. Towelheads. The neon green words were directed at store owner Yahya Omar Saleh, a Muslim immigrant from Yemen, who grew up in upstate New York, rooting for the Buffalo Bills.
PacifiCorp says it's far from deciding whether to build 3 coal-fired power plants by 2014. But Oregon consumer groups and energy officials have wasted little time attacking the idea. The Portland-based utility plans to solicit bills for additional power plants before making any final decisions. The coal-fired plants would be built in Utah and Wyoming, and the new electricity would primarily be used for customers in those states. Oregon ratepayers would likely be asked to pay roughly 25% of the bill because PacifiCorp treats its territory as a single system, the Oregon newspaper reported. Coal-fired plants accounted for almost 68% of the energy used by PacifiCorp's 1.6 million customers last year. The utility hasn't built such a plant since the mid-1980s, and environmental regulations and technological changes have made building them an expensive proposition. However, Greg Duvall, PacifiCorp's resource planning director, says it's the least expensive option out there. Coal-fired plants account for roughly half of the electricity produced in the U.S. and 80% of its carbon dioxide emissions, which have been linked to global warming. That's why consumer groups and Oregon officials say PacifiCorp needs to aggressively pursue renewable energy and conservation programs. We're joined now by Chris, who will tell us about our membership drive.
And Arthur, too. Sorry, that was, we need to get our levels adjusted. Sorry. Hi, good morning. I'm Chris Andre, and I'm here with Arthur.
Well, hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Great.
We've got to get some calls adjusted here, too. We need a few people to call us up at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
Just think about this. This is really your pledge drive. This is your radio station, and this is your goal. Thinking of it that way, I really want to encourage you to give us a call right now. This is a good moment for you to do it. I know that you out there, KBOO, you believe in change, you believe in making a difference, and a lot of times, especially times like these, people feel very frustrated, and they have a sense that the situation is out of their control. Well, it's not. This is how we own the airwaves. This is how we own the media. A lot of times progressives on the left say, well, what can we do, Fox and all that, you know, and all the money that's involved in the media. Well, there's one way that you can change that, and that's by supporting your community radio station. Call us right now. It's 503-232-8818. 1-800-218-1818.
And you can make a difference in your community. One thing that's great here is you turn on the radio, you hear local radio, locally produced news, something besides, you know, where's the traffic accident and who shot who last night. But so, you know, the real deal. We just had the story on coal-powered plants. And we have a tape or CD, Richard Heinberg, on options and actions for a post-carbon world. That'll be very topical. That's a $60 minimum pledge. We do need a couple of people to call in during this pledge break. Only two people. That's you. $60 or $5 a month. And we have another item that I would like to offer, a book by Howard Zinn. So this is the real deal, A Power Governments Cannot Suppress. You can get that book at the $75 pledge level by dialing 503-232-8818.
Or 1-877-500-5266 outside of the 503 area code. That's a toll-free call. When you support KBOO, you're investing in your own future, you're investing in your community, and you are taking a huge step towards making your world a better place. We have people listening and contributing from all over the world. Your membership is what makes a difference.
Folks, we only have seconds left in this break. We have about 1 minute left. The engineer is kind of waving his arms and saying, hey, guys, you got to wrap it up. So we need you to help us wrap it up and help us make our goal for the morning news to say, hey, locally produced progressive news matters. If it matters to you, call us right now at 503-232-8818. We're counting on you. We're depending on you to show us what's important, what matters in your heart, and how you can make a difference in your community. The toll-free number outside the Portland area, hey, folks, that's most of the world, is 1-877-500-5266.
We've got people who've called from places far and wide. We've got people calling from out of state. And if they can do it, so can you. Now is the time. It is. We are up against it. It's fun, and it's what you can do to make a difference.
Thanks to Kirby. We'd like to thank Kirby in Portland, who dialed 503-232-8818. And we're waiting on your call right now.
In Denver, Colorado, protesters of this Saturday's Columbus Day Parade plan to spend Friday night camping illegally in the state-owned Lincoln Park in downtown Denver. They were granted a reprieve by the Colorado State Patrol, which agreed to extend their rally permit to include camping. The Transform Columbus Day Alliance, led by the American Indian Movement of Colorado, had secured permits to rally in the park until 10 p.m. Friday, then starting again at 7 a.m. Saturday. Alliance members had vowed to spend the night in the park, setting up a possible confrontation with state troopers who patrol the park. After consulting with Attorney General John Souther's office, troopers announced they would extend the group's permit through the night, said trooper spokesman Sergeant Jeff Goodwin. The group protested the parade this past Saturday, claiming that Christopher Columbus should not be honored because he did not discover America, according to AIM of Colorado. Parade marchers led by the Italian-American community said they are celebrating the national holiday that honors Columbus. Dell?
New Orleans' population has dropped by nearly 60% since Hurricane Katrina, far more sharply than recent optimistic estimates had suggested. According to an authoritative post-storm survey released this week, the population of New Orleans is now well under half the pre-storm population, according to the survey, commissioned by several state agencies. The United States Census Bureau and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention advised those who carried out the door-to-door population count this summer. Mayor Ray Nagin has suggested that about half of New Orleans' former residents had returned, basing his projections partly on utility users. But the new numbers indicate that repopulation will take a while to reach that level. The new figures also suggest that many more whites than blacks have returned to New Orleans. For months, neighborhood activists and housing advocates have suggested that the city's African American population has had a difficult time reestablishing itself. The new numbers appear to bear out these concerns. They also suggest that the relatively high black vote in last spring's city elections, as much as 57% of the electorate, was elevated by citizens making the trip specifically to vote. This from the New York Times.
A Navy medic has told his court-martial in California how U.S. Marines seized an Iraqi civilian, threw him into a hole, and shot him in the head 10 times. U.S. Petty Officer Melson Bacos agreed a plea bargain to avoid murder charges and will testify against seven Marines in later hearings. The medic said the incident in the western Iraqi town of Hamdaniya in April made him sick to my stomach. The case is one of several in which U.S. troops are accused of killing Iraqis. Bacos admitted kidnapping, conspiracy to kidnap, and conspiracy to file a false statement as part of the plea bargain at the court-martial in Camp Pendleton, Southern California. Military Judge Colonel Stephen Folsom sentenced Bacos to 10 years in prison, but reduced the period he will actually serve to 1 year because of the plea agreement. Bacos said he was on patrol with the Marine Squad, who were looking for an insurgent, Saleh Gawad, who had been captured 3 times but released. Bacos said the Marines were angry the insurgent had been freed and frustrated at not finding him. Instead, seized civilian Hashim Awad from his home. The medic said Awad was put in a hole. He testified, "I knew that we were doing something wrong. I tried saying something, sir." But he said a Marine told him to quit being a pussy. Bacos said squad leader Sergeant Lawrence Hutchins III then fired 3 shots into Awad's head, followed by at least 7 more rounds to the head from Corporal Trent Thomas. Dell?
Thousands of people have been mistakenly linked to names on terror watch lists when they crossed the border, boarded commercial airliners, or if they were stopped for traffic violations. A government report said more than 30,000 airline passengers have asked just one agency, the Transportation Security Administration, to have their names cleared from the lists. The Government Accountability Office report said hundreds of millions of people each year are screened against the list by Customs and Border Protection, the State Department, and state and local law enforcement agencies. The list includes names of people suspected of terrorism or if possibly having links to terrorist activity. People are considered misidentified if they are matched to the database and then, upon further examination, are found not to match. They are usually misidentified because they have the same name as someone in the database. People are considered mistakenly listed if they were put on the list in error or if they should no longer be included on the list because of subsequent events.
According to Time, the Navy has issued Prepare to Deploy orders, or PTDOS, to a strike group, including minesweepers, a submarine, an Aegis-class cruiser, and a mine hunter, taken alongside disclosures that the Chief of Naval Operations asked his planners for a rundown of how a blockade of Iranian oil ports would work. These military preparations led Time to conclude cautiously that the United States may be preparing for war with Iran. Military officials downplay these recent moves as routine, but given the administration's recent history of manufacturing threat, misreading intelligence, and misrepresenting war plans, it is tempting to read between the lines, especially when increasingly hot rhetoric is coming from Washington. Asked whether the United States will do anything to stop the Iranians from having a nuclear bomb, Vice President Dick Cheney paid lip service to diplomacy before emphasizing that we think they should not have a nuclear bomb. The president has always emphasized no options have been taken off the table. President Bush leveled some barbed criticism at Iran during his recent UN General Assembly address. Tehran continues to fund terrorism and fuel extremism and pursue nuclear weapons, he said. Iran must abandon its nuclear weapons ambitions. This according to Time magazine and Information Clearinghouse.
Two weapons experts are warning that a Pentagon project to modify its deadliest nuclear missile for use as a conventional weapon against targets such as North Korea and Iran could unwittingly spark an atomic war. Ted Postel, a physicist and professor of science, technology, and national security policy at the MIT, said Russian military officers might misconstrue a submarine-launched conventional D-5 intercontinental ballistic missile and conclude that Russia is under nuclear attack. Russian President Vladimir Putin warned that the project would increase the danger of accidental nuclear war. Accidental nuclear war is not so far-fetched. In 1995, Russia initially interpreted the launch of a Norwegian scientific rocket as the onset of a U.S. nuclear attack. Then President Boris Yeltsin activated his nuclear briefcase in the first stages of preparation to launch a retaliatory strike before the mistake was discovered. The United States and Russia have acknowledged the possibility that Russia's equipment might mistakenly conclude the United States was attacking with nuclear missiles. This from the San Francisco Chronicle. We turn now back to Chris, who will tell us more about our membership drive.
Thank you very much. This is Arthur Davis, kind of elbowing my way in here along with Chris Andre. It's good to be here this morning. Well, you know, there's that old joke about someone goes to the doctor and says, "Doc, it hurts when I do this." The doctor says, "Don't do that." And sometimes you get the same feeling about the news. Well, wow, maybe I shouldn't listen to the news. It's all so bleak. And yet people, you, our KBOO community, is listening right now because we say, hey, maybe sometimes it's tough, but it matters. And I want to know what's going on in the world. I want to be informed about what's going on in the world, and I want to make a difference in the world. The way to make a difference is to support your community radio station so that we can do the work that we do. We have 10 paid employees, 500 active volunteers, and you can join us by calling 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. You know, if you're up this early in the morning, it's a lot of people like to get up, do their morning routine, do their workout and so forth. I'd like to offer right now a 30-day unlimited NEA class. This is a body movement class in downtown Portland at Studio NEA. 30 days unlimited. You start whenever you want. And you finish after 30 days. You can do 30, 60 classes, however many you can fit in. This is a $120 pledge level. And we do need to meet our goal for $240 for the KBOO Evening News. We do need one person at the 120 level. We need one person to call in for one of our great Chris Andre designed T-shirts. And I'm going to let Chris break in a second here. But she's done a beautiful KBOO T-shirt with a transmitter tower, flowers, roots going down to the ground to show the roots of our community. This T-shirt is not only available in the quote unisex sizes, but also in a women's fitted t-shirt. A lot of women say, well, I'd like a KBOO t-shirt, but I don't want this boxy kind of look, you know?
I think it's the only one that is.
It is the only one that's available. It's $75. So we need one person at the 120 level, one person at $75, and then we also need you to call in at $40. That's going to put us right up there at our goal for this hour, but the phones have to ring and you have to dial 503-232-8818.
You could be the one that does it, that helps us make our goal. It's not just our goal, it's your goal, too. And you could be that individual who takes the initiative, who really cares, and who really puts their money where their heart is, where their mind is, too, and their intellectual curiosity. Stay curious. We have a very incurious sort of an administration right now, and it's curiosity on the part of KBOO listeners that makes all the difference in the world. You do make the difference. And that's why we need you right now to call us 503-232-8818. Our outside of that area code is a toll-free call at 1-877-500-5266. Make the call now. It is of enormous importance for you to be the one that makes a difference. You could be that individual who stands up and says, okay, that's it. I've had it with mainstream media. I'm not going to take it anymore, and I am going to pick up the phone and call 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
You know, KBOO Radio is a really amazing place. We're down here in the building right now. There are 7-8 volunteers in the building, 2 paid employees. That's how it works, folks. But we have about 50 volunteers for every paid employee. So every dollar that you mail into KBOO gets multiplied by 50. But it starts with the phone call. The volunteers are down here putting in their time, hours and hours and hours. This entire newscast is produced by volunteers, and people put in 2 hours a week, 10 hours a week, 20 hours a week, 40 hours a week sometimes here at KBOO Radio, and what we're asking for is 3 minutes of your time. You can say, well, you know, I have a job, I have a family, I have commitments,
but I want to make a difference in the world. I want to make a difference in the Pacific Northwest. I want to make a difference in Portland, Oregon. And I'm going to pick up the phone and call 503-232-8818. Folks, we got to see some news here for the morning news. We got to see a few pledges come in, and we want Chris Andre and Kathleen Stevenson to look good. Wow, if it matters to you that we have a locally produced newscast, pick up the phone. You know, you got the extra 3 minutes before you go into late. Okay, you do in at 8. Okay, it might be 8:03 today, you know? 503-232-8818 is the
number.
And
let's not forget our anchors, Jake and Dell. They have made a commitment to their community radio station. They work hard. They come in early. They give their time and their effort and their intellect and their imagination and creativity to come in and make this news broadcast happen. And I want to thank the people who actually have stood up and said, that's it, I'm not taking the mainstream media anymore, I'm going to become a member. So you who have become members, we salute you. We thank you. We deeply appreciate it. And when I say we, I really do mean the greater. We are all in this together. This is our pledge drive, our goal. Call us, 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. Make the difference. Make the call.
Gunmen wearing military uniforms assassinated the brother of Iraq Sunni Arab vice president in his home today. The victim is the third sibling the official has lost this year to the country's violence. Insurgents have often targeted the families of prominent politicians in an apparent effort to intimidate the country's leaders. Tariq al-Hashimi is Iraq's most prominent Sunni Arab political figure. In September, the vice president urged Sunni-led insurgents to quickly join Shiite Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's national reconciliation effort. Earlier, he had called for the insurgency to be put down by force. Sunni politicians blame the killing on the failure of al-Maliki's government to disband militias. Dell?
Experts warn that a civil war has already started in Iraq. President Bush and his administration officials claim that progress has been achieved. Bush insists that democracy is being achieved, while in Iraq, all we witness is that people have no electricity, no security. The civil war has started, and a hideous way of democracy has been imposed on the nation. A democracy that places ethnic bigot rulers and tribal heads as representatives of the Iraqi people. The Iraqi Constitution, cooked inside the Bush administration and hailed by American officials as a step towards real democracy, triggered the fears of most Iraqis when it was first introduced, as it gives these tribal, ethnic, and religious heads the power to use the country's riches for their own interests and make a civil war in the country more likely. Last month, U.S. President George W. Bush said in the Wall Street Journal that he believes dividing Iraq into three separate regions with a central government in Baghdad would be a mistake. But yesterday, the Sunday Times cited well-informed sources suggesting that an independent panel hired by the U.S. Congress with the approval of Bush is weighing a previously suggested option of dividing Iraq into three autonomous regions, Shia, Sunni, and Kurdish. This from Al Jazeera.
The chief executive of Italy's oil company, Eni, said current oil prices are not very high, and crude is actually cheaper than Coca-Cola. Paolo Scarini said in the interview, $60 a barrel is not very high. Scarini said, today, a barrel of oil is worth half a barrel of Coca-Cola, so you should put things into perspective. He added that the fact that consumers had not significantly changed their behavior proved that they were not particularly feeling the pinch. Asked whether he feared economic sanctions would be imposed against Iran, where Eni is involved in a series of projects and lifts 30,000 barrels of oil per day, Scarini said companies had to live with the fact that oil is often found in potentially risky places. This, according to Reuters. This has been the KABU Morning News for Monday, October 9th, 2006. Thanks for listening, and thanks for becoming a member of KBOO. You all make the difference. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Our engineer is Jeff. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Jake Wallner.
And I'm Del Walker. We clear the air at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Corvallis at 100.7 FM on translator K264 AA, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K2OHR.
Portland area weather, partly cloudy with patchy fog early this morning. Sunny later, highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s. Tonight, clear, breezy in the local Portland area, lows in the upper 30s to lower 40s.
You can volunteer in the KBOO newsroom. Pick up the phone and call Kathleen Stevenson at 503-231-8032, extension 202, or email us at amnews@kboo.org.